From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. British Prime Minister David Cameron is describing the threat posed by the Islamist militant group ISIS as even more severe than that posed by Al-Qaeda. As a result, the British leader today announced he is raising the terror threat designation in Britain to severe, the second highest level. While officials say they weren't responding to any specific threat, Cameron says recent moves by the group Islamic State and others bear watching.
The ambition to create an extremist caliphate in the heart of Iraq and Syria is a threat to our own security here in the UK. And that is in addition to the many other Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorist groups that exist in that region.
The White House, for its part, says it does not expect any uptick in the U.S. threat level, though officials stress they are in touch with their British counterparts. It's now believed as many as 500 Britons have gone to fight in Syria or Iraq. The Pentagon says air operations in Iraq against the Islamic State have now cost more than $500 million since they began in June. NPR's Tom Bowman reports the military is also looking to expand a training effort for moderate rebels in neighboring Syria.
The Obama administration has asked Congress for $500 million to increase the training for rebel forces who are fighting both the Islamic State and the Assad regime. The CIA already is providing some limited training to moderate rebels in Syria. Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby said before the military takes part, there are a number of hurdles to overcome.
You've got to have a moderate opposition that you can rely on. There's got to be a vetting process. You've got to have at least one willing partner in the region to help sponsor some of the sites for training. I mean, there's a lot of work that we got to do, and we're working our way through that.
Meanwhile, Admiral Kirby said there's a possibility that the current U.S. assessment of Iraqi forces could turn into an advisory mission. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
Prison officials in California have agreed to segregate mentally ill inmates into specialized housing units. As NPR's Richard Gonzalez explains, the move comes in response to a federal court ruling that past treatment of the inmates had violated constitutional safeguards.
In April, a federal court ruled that conditions for mentally ill inmates amounted to cruel and unusual punishment. The ruling came after the release of videos showing guards using large amounts of pepper spray to subdue inmates in their cells. In a court filing, the state agreed to create separate short- and long-term housing units for about 2,500 mentally ill inmates who are currently in solitary confinement. The state plans to improve inmates' access to mental health professionals and will review the cases of thousands of other mentally ill inmates to see whether they need to remain in solitary confinement. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
A federal judge has thrown out new abortion restrictions in Texas that would have effectively closed down more than a dozen clinics in that state. U.S. District Court judge signing with clinics that sued over part of a sweeping anti-abortion measure signed into law by the state's Governor Rick Perry. It would have required clinics to provide abortions to meet hospital operating standards. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 18 points. This is NPR. The man accused of masterminding one of the largest ever insurance scams in Florida history has been sentenced to 20 years in federal prison. A judge today sentencing Joe Steinger, the former head of Fort Lauderdale-based Mutual Benefits Corporation, to the prison term after he pleaded guilty in March to mail and wire fraud and conspiracy charges. Prosecutors contend the company was actually a massive fraud scheme in which investors lost upwards of $830 million between 1994 and 2004. Now, the defunct company purchased life insurance policies from people with AIDS, cancer, and other chronic illnesses, and then sold them to investors. Jurors heard closing arguments in the corruption trial against former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell today. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports McDonnell and his wife could face decades in prison if they're convicted of doing favors for a wealthy businessman in exchange for loans and gifts.
Prosecutors laid out a detailed timeline of phone calls, emails, texts, showing that gifts from CEO Johnny Williams were closely followed by the governor's actions on his behalf. They also argued that McDonald tried to keep the loans and luxury items secret, a sign he knew they were wrong. Defense attorneys said McDonald did not know about many of the gifts and did not give Williams anything concrete in return. This case, they said, amounts to a quid without a quo. They also repeated their contention that the couple's marriage was so broken, they were barely speaking, and so could not have conspired together. Jurors are expected to start their deliberations next week. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
The CEO of a U.S.-based catering company is in hot water after being caught on videotape kicking a dog. The board of the company's center plate announcing its place CEO Desmond Haig on indefinite probation. He was caught by a surveillance camera in an elevator. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.